In this episode of Movie Wellers, we're going to review the movies Quartet and Stand Up Guys. It's time for Movie Wellers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wellers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
We've got our Girl Scout cookies on.
Yes.
They're and good. They look interesting.
You've never had them before, have you?
No, I haven't. And they're delicious.
Not the lemon ones.
These are really delicious.
What's your favourites? Yes,
I was just telling you earlier, I used to like the Samoas, but I just OD'd on them because after you've had like two of them.
Six boxes.
Six of them. Yeah. And then you have like three other boxes and then you're sick of them.
You
so
binge.
Now I won't go anywhere close to a Samoa.
The lemon ones are very good.
Well, let's not eat all of them at once like last time, Mashmi.
Talking about sweet things.
Yes. I like how you looked at me when you said that.
Hey.
Both the movies we are talking about today are about people of a certain age.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking recently, I wonder if this is a reflection of the baby boomers and the number of films now that are being made about that generation and older. There's a lot. I mean, we talked about Amour, the Marigold Hotel.
Yes.
I wonder if this is a trend.
I hope it's a trend. I want to see, you know, every demographic represented in the movies.
Yeah.
We just don't want to have, you know, pretty people being, you know, slashed.
Some of these older people are
in horror
pretty
movies.
Too.
I don't know. I like to see pretty people when I go to see the movies.
All the time?
Well,
preferably.
Yeah.
on
Golden Pond
one.
Isn't exactly eye candy. And neither were these. Because, in fact, two of the movies that we're going to record today and put out in a later podcast, Beautiful Creatures and Warm Bodies, were very much teen flicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, they're a lot easier on the eye than aging Christopher Walken, even though he's undeniably cool.
Yes, I like that movies can be different things.
Yep.
Yeah,
so,
I like
so
them.
So which one do you want to review first?
Stand Up Guys.
Stand Up Guys. Okay, and Rashmi, you're going to introduce that one?
I am.
When you reassemble
my equipment. Okay, so Val is released from prison after serving 28 years for refusing to give up one of his close criminal associates. His best friend Doc is there to pick him up, and the two soon reteam with another old pal, Hirsch. Their bond is as strong as ever, and the three reflect on the freedom lost and gained. Loyalties ebbed and flowed and days of glory gone by. But one of the friends is keeping a dangerous secret. He's been put in an impossible quandary by a former mob boss, and his time to find an acceptable alternative is running out. As the sun rises on the guy's legendary reunion, their position becomes more and more desperate, and they finally confront their past once and for all. So this is directed by Fisher Stevens and written by Noah Hadle, and stars Al Pacino, Christopher Walken, Alan Arkin, and Juliette Margulies. Now, I didn't get to see this one, but I am excited because I love all of these people. So, Yazdi, tell me, should I stand up and run out and see this one?
So I think the reason for this movie to be is because of those three guys. It's because of Alan Arkin, it's because of Al Pacino, and it's because of Christopher Walken. I mean, who can deny, you know, the star power of these three veterans. So going into the movie with those expectations, I came out, unfortunately, not as satisfied as I'd like to. And I think the issue is that these are such fine actors. I think the script lets them down a little bit. Now, just to be very clear, I did not hate the movie. I just think it's a very average film.
Right.
I was very, very happy watching it, but I wanted more.
Okay. Joe?
Yeah, I didn't hate the movie, but it smacked of missed opportunity at every turn. It was so ham-fisted and clumsy. Like, to the point where there were some comedic situations that they got into that I couldn't figure out if I was supposed to laugh or sense, you know, get the dramatic side of things. Because the movie does have this odd pitch and tone. In places, it's trying to be really funny.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also these very dramatic setups that they have, you know, There's some history between these two guys, and so, you know, it does go into some, you know, darker places in terms of what the characters are set up to do. But then you have this really oddball comedic moment, which doesn't fit. And it's not like clever comedy. It's like almost slapstick comedy. You know, I was expecting them to kind of, you know, pat each other on the ass and pinch their nose with a, you know, because it was almost slapstick in places. But I don't know, that it just didn't work.
So is it action or is it kind of dialogue driven?
It's everything. It's all of those. It's action, it's dialogue driven. And Joe, you literally stole the words from my mouth. I mean, this is what I wrote in my notes, which is that this movie has a weird problem with its tone. And it is this jerk and stop kind of feel to the movie. It can't seem to decide. Like, there are entire vignettes where it's being very, very funny. And then there are other places where it's almost being wistful and sad. And then there are other places where it's all out action. And then there's a weird piece, and it's a bit of a spoiler, so I don't want to give it away, where it just gets really, like, over the top violent, like edgy, perverse violent.
Right.
And it was just a weird mishmash. And I like you, I think, with, you know, when it's like the equivalent of driving a Mercedes, right? When you have these great actors,
yeah,
you know, to waste them, I think. And I think the problem is the script.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And I think the direction as well, because I think some of the tonalities were not necessarily in the screenwriting, but they were deliberate decisions by the director to give a certain tone to a certain sequence. And again, I don't want to go into spoilers, but, you know, the violent scene that you're talking about, Yasti, is like, where does that came from? Nowhere.
Right.
Like, up until that point, we've got a fairly gentle comedy about a couple of older guys. You know, there's some, but suddenly you end up in this like mess of like guns blazing,
like Tarantino land. Suddenly, yeah.
I was going to say, was it Tarantino-esque? And how's the chemistry between the three? Because so I'm excited. It seems like Christopher Walken's making a little bit of a comeback. He's probably been in the most number of movies that I've seen in this last 12
months. Did he ever go
months.
Away?
Well, I've just seen him in a, it seems like he's been in a lot of movies in the last 12-month period. How's the chemistry between the three?
I think he's incapable of being bad. I think he just has such a terrific screen presence. He could just stand there and not do anything. And you know, you would be staring at him.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, and again, I don't want to give too much away, it really is about Christopher Walken and Al Pacino.
Okay.
Alan Arkin is somewhat, he comes in later into the movie. And the chemistry between them, I wouldn't say spectacular. I'd say it's good. It's not out of the world. And I actually think, and again, I'm being very careful how I say this, I think in terms of the relationship between those two individuals, I think there has been a far superior version of that we've seen before, and that is in the movie In Bruges. And that movie is so much better than this one. It kind of reminds, this movie kind of treads along a little bit along the same path, and that's such a, you know, such a far superior movie that it to me repeatedly kind of failed in comparison.
Right, right.
We missed In Bruges.
Yeah, I've watched like the first half an hour. Colin Farrell and
Brendan Gleeson.
Same director of Seven Psychopaths.
That's right.
So you're probably going to love it.
Yeah.
Right. Stand Up Guys?
No.
Oh, In Bruges. Yeah. What I saw, I loved. I just never got around to finishing the movie. Okay, anything else to say on this one then?
No, I mean, I think for me, the performance is saved the day somewhat, because I mean, I like these actors a lot, and they did what they could with the material that they had. I think I felt for Pacino in particular in some points, because he had some really awkward moments, some comedic moments, one involving a brothel, and it was just awkward.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, well, go on.
No, I actually liked that awkward brothel moment, because, again, it was from some other movie, but Lucy Punch, she plays the madam, the very young madam.
She's great.
Hilarious.
I mean, I'm
starting to notice her more and more in movies. She always plays these little parts, and she's always so good. So I liked that little brothel piece, but yeah. So
sum it up then. Let's sum up and give a score then.
Well, anything else to add, Yasti?
No, and I think it's also let down by the script a little bit. I mean, again, when you have these seasoned actors, you really need a script which is at the top of its game. And, you know, there's dialogue in the movie. Like somebody asks, you know, what time is it? And the response is, you know, it is time to kick ass or chew gum. And I'm out of gum, you know? And it just like, that belongs in a Stallone movie. It does not belong.
Yeah.
It's too cheesy to ask these seasoned actors to be saying these kind of cheesy lines. So anyway.
Okay, so score.
So I'm really not sure what they were going for here, and I think the issue and the problem that the movie has is I don't think the people that put the movie together knew what they were going for. It has some comedy, it has some drama, but it doesn't gel at all and ends up being disjointed. And I'm not one to complain about being surprised by certain tones in a movie, but when the surprise has to have some kind of... it has to add to the context of the movie. It has to be an additive experience. And here it just seemed to take it away. It's like, oh, now we're doing this. So in unshort summary, I'm going to give this one a 5 out of 10. Wow. I really, really like the performances. Wanted so much more from this, but it's not a movie that I can recommend.
Yeah. The only thing I would add is, I mean, I would honestly say it's probably not worth a trip to the cinemas. You may want to rent it on DVD.
I would say even or watch Netflix.
Or even Netflix. I mean, again, I enjoyed the movie in the moment, and those guys, you know, you could watch them do anything.
Right.
You know,
right.
So and they're brilliant. I mean, Christopher Walken is a hero for me. I mean, he can do no bad. So just for that, I think it's worth watching it. But it does come across as a bit of a disappointment in terms of what it could have been. So because it was a little flat and undercooked, I would give it, somewhere between a 5 and a 6.
Wow.
As well.
Really disappointing.
So very average.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's release timing, I think, perhaps speaks to how little confidence that they had in the movie. Better next time.
Okay.
Let's move on then to Quartet. This is one that I haven't seen, but I will try and introduce it for you. So the movie is basically a directorial debut by Dustin Hoffman. This is the very famous Dustin Hoffman, who we've known as an actor for a long time. So it's interesting to me that he's turned his hand to direction. Really intrigued to see how that is. The movie has a really all-star cast. Maggie Smith, Billy Connolly, Michael Gambon, Pauline Collins, Tom Courtney. So, you know, it has a huge, wonderful cast. I'm really excited about it. So in very short summary, the movie is about a group of, a quartet of people in a retirement home for musicians, of all things, who want to give us their opinion. Rashmi, shoot.
So this is yet another delightful film about aging that had me from the opening credits. And not only did it engage me, but it made me smile, laugh, and cry right up until the closing credits. Phenomenal. I love this movie.
Yazdi.
So this movie to me is the equivalent of what you get on your dinner plate at the more expensive, more trendy restaurants these days.
It's obviously why I like it.
It's called foam, I believe. You know, zucchini.
Is that the stuff that looks like saliva?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that necessarily in a bad way. You know, you get zucchini foam or you can get raspberry foam.
Right.
And it's this light, frothy material which has the essence of the thing you're supposed to eat, but it's not the actual thing. So, you know, this movie is very light and frothy and it's very amiable and exceptionally well done. I mean, these are some brilliant actors. And I like these sorts of, you know, gentle, gentrified films. But I must say it left me somewhat hungry at the end. I wish the movie had a little bit more heft to it.
See, I liked it because I liked that it was simple and understated, but it was sweet and it was realistic. And mostly it was quietly impactful is how I would describe it. I can't stop thinking about the movie and I watched it about a month ago now.
So is that the emotionality behind it? I mean, is this the chemistry between the characters or the plot? I mean, what got to you? What's resonated with you here, clearly?
I think it just felt very real. It felt like a very real story that like we were saying in the intro, there's been so many films about aging and there's a way to do them in a hammy way. This felt like it was almost with a strained hand, Yazdi. I can see why it made you feel that you almost wanted more, but it was done almost with a very restrained eye. And I love that. No, I love that there was more to it if you delve deeper.
No, definitely. I mean, it's done. It's very subtle and it's done with a very gentle hand, definitely. But I kept expecting something more in the end. And, you know, I mean, it has a beautiful ending, but it just seemed too inconsequential in a way. And I think part of the issue is that, you know, at the crux of the movie is this relationship between Maggie Smith's character and the person who she was very briefly married to, who is also at the retirement community. And it's about, you know, them obviously getting past, you know, a lot of history that they had in the past. And I wanted that to build to something, and it didn't. But again, you know, I don't want people to get the impression that in any way I'm not recommending this movie or that I didn't like it. I mean, like I said, it was like a great little meal. Mm-hmm. It just had a little bit too much air for me. I wish it had a little bit more food.
Yeah.
What about performances? Because I think Maggie Smith picked up a Best Actress nomination for the Golden Globe for this one. I love Maggie Smith to death. What do you guys think?
I think any film that recognizes that Maggie Smith ought to headline a movie of her own is doing something right. I mean, you know, I hate to sound like this, I think she's one of the great treasures of cinema right now.
And a total chameleon.
Yeah, and she, you know, she kind of does the scrotchety stuff all the time, but then in Harry Potter, she's so beloved. And, you know, she's on
Downton Abbey,
and, you know, she's been in Marigold, and she can... You know, she's one of those people who doesn't have to do a lot. All she does is a look.
Well, I mean, she makes it look so easy, right? I can't imagine it's that easy, but she's obviously a great that she can make it look so effortless. I mean, for me, the acting was wonderful. This is UK greats again, and they're just mesmerizing to watch, and it's hard to take your eyes off all of these people through the entire movie.
Is it set in the UK?
It's set in the UK, it is, it is.
It's actually a BBC film, which is interesting.
I mean,
probably it's funded by the BBC.
Yeah, right, yeah. It's a very British movie in its sensibility, but it's just beautiful to watch. I must say, I'm very impressed with Dustin Hoffman's directing. This is beautiful.
Interesting. So he has learned a thing or two during his time as an actor about directing.
Yeah, I mean, I like how understated it is.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, the acting here is impeccable. I mean, nobody here makes you think for a minute that, you know, that this is somebody fumbling through their lines or mm-hmm. through their emotions. Everybody makes it seem so real.
Yeah.
You know, all the conflicts, as understated as they are, they come out very well.
Yeah.
And there are a couple individuals that I don't recall seeing before who I thought were magnificent. I mean, the other two characters in the quartet, Billy Connolly and Pauline Collins. I mean, she in particular had a very tricky role, and, you know, she made it seem like a person I knew, you know. Like she was so particular in terms of her sensibility that I felt like you know, an aunt. I kind of knew her, and she was odd.
She was Shirley Valentine.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. You remember Shirley Valentine?
Yes.
Way back when?
70s. Yeah.
For our British listeners, I mean, they'll recognize those two names a lot because they're British greats as well. Been in many, many, many movies. But the one thing that stood out for me, and it should in this movie, is the score. I love the score I love the fact that the score was generated as part of the movie. So it wasn't music generally that was overlaid, it wasn't tracks overlaid. This is a home, as you said in your intro, for retired musicians. And so there's plenty of people playing fantastic score and classical music. But stay for the credits. The thing that you were saying, Yazdi, that you hadn't seen a lot of these people, stay for the credits because you'll be shocked at just how much real talent, i.e. ex-older musicians, that the film actually has in it. And that was wonderful to watch. So if you stay for the credits, you'll see all of these people... their photographs come up and where they perform. So that was just breathtaking. I mean, for me, I was going to say it takes a little while to warm up to this film. I think there's some quirky one-liners, and the kind of, you know, are old people really doing that? Is it almost a little bit too difficult to watch? I was a little bit uncomfortable with some of Billy Connolly's character. Yes, you're looking at me like I'm such a prude. But you know, it will envelop you and you can hang on to it. So I'll let you summarize first, Yazdi, and I'll let you do the score first.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is such a great concept, you know, that of a retired home for people who have obviously led very accomplished careers. Mm. And so they bring with them tremendous egos. Mm-hmm. And these are not people who, you know, are going to stand on the sideline. These are all people who have been, you know, exemplary musicians at some time or the other. And so there could be a lot of tension. And my regret is when you have that such a wonderful premise that you should just play it out completely, you know, and have these people like go at each other. And I know it's a very deliberate choice on the film, Dustin Hoffman's part to have this be very understated. And like, I don't want to repeat myself, but I wish it had been a little bit stronger and more emotionally hefty. I enjoyed the movie thoroughly. I don't think it's the better of the two Quartet movies which were released last year.
There was a late Quartet.
And there was a late Quartet which had Philip Seymour Hoffman, Christopher Walken,
Catherine
Keener, and somebody
else.
And
the other guy who we can never remember. Yes. Yeah.
It's funny that happens. There's like two Quartet movies about older people. It's almost like they want to piggyback off each other's marketing.
Maybe, yeah.
But I think I like that movie more because it certainly had more tension within it. But not to take away anything from this, I think this is a... Something's right with the world when these kind of gentle movies are being made. So I give it 7 out of 10, which may be a little bit stingy, but yeah.
I think it's stingy because I think Quartet deserves double that score. I 14? Think it deserves... No, of Quartet. So it's my favourite movie of the year so far. I fell in love with all of these characters and I would love to visit them often. So I'm going to give this one an 8 out of 10.
And just to clarify, when you say of this year, you mean of 2013?
Correct, of 2013.
Because the movie, I think, was released in 2012.
Very, so. Very, very late.
For Oscar consideration.
I think it's still playing actually now. It's actually on now. So I think it was released for Oscar consideration, but it's on general release now.
Did it pick up anything in the Academy Awards? No.
Nothing. And that doesn't surprise me. I think, like you said, Yasli, maybe Maggie Smith was the only one who was probably deserving. But, I mean, given what the competition's like.
I could have seen Pauline Collins get a Best Supporting Actor nod, female. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's
a hard year.
It's like a piffle. It's a sweet little piffle of a movie, and I think maybe it just didn't settle in enough with people.
Okay,
but definitely worth watching. Yeah, definitely worth watching.
Definitely going to try and catch that one.
Yeah.
Good. Well, let's wrap up this podcast. We have a couple of other movies that we're going to talk about next in our next podcast. So until then, it's always, as always, let us know how you feel about Movie Wallahs. Mail at moviewallahs.com. Let us know if you have any comments or suggestions for the show. Facebook.com/moviewallahs and twitter.com/moviewallahs as well. Until our next episode, it's too many movies, too little time. Good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.